Well, greetings everyone and welcome to the Law Hour and Editorial Review. The Law Hour is sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. The Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. I'm your narrator, George Gordon. Now, the Law Hour and Editorial Review is heard nationally and internationally 7 days a week here in the United States and around the world in more than 120 countries worldwide over the Internet. Now, for more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please visit our webpage at georgegordon.org. Once more, that's georgegordon.org. Now, the Law Hour and Editorial Review brings you important information about law, science, education, politics, religion, health, history, economics, news, and current events. So stay tuned for tonight's special report on another popular lie right after this. You know, 3,300 years ago, Moses instructed our fathers. He said, "You shall not have in your bag diverse weights, a great and a small, but you shall have, or you shall not have, rather, in your house diverse measures, a great and a small, but you shall have a perfect and a just weight, and a perfect and a just measure shall you have." Well, you know, our founding fathers at the Constitutional Convention of 1787 followed that scriptural principle of law when they put into our Constitution at Article 1, Section 10, these 17 words. Listen to this. It says, "No state shall make anything but gold or silver coin a tender in payment of debts." But in 1933, President Roosevelt took our gold away. And in 1964, President Johnson took silver coin out of circulation. And now, in place of just weights and balances, these two presidents have introduced our current practice of the first, second, and fifth planks of the Communist Manifesto into our monetary system. And they've given us Federal Reserve notes now in place of gold-backed treasury bills. And they've given us clad coinage in place of silver coins. So that in the intervening 70 years or so, we Americans have gone from being the world's number one creditor nation until today we're the world's number one debtor nation. Now, who do you think were the better financial planners for our nation? Moses and our founding fathers, or Franklin D. Roosevelt and Lyndon Baines Johnson? Now, if you'd like to learn more about hard money and how to use it properly, it's another of the many lessons that we teach in our Mosaic Law School, conducted twice a year here at the Law School in Isabella, Missouri. Now, if you'd like to learn more, why don't you call and order our free general law CD package first? That's the place to start. It's a four-hour commentary on the law in general, and it's educational, it's informative, it's entertaining. Best of all, it's free. Now, you can call and order one right now. The number is 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, the Mosaic Law School is also available on compact disc for adult home study. If you're online, you go to our website, georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. Then just click on the email and send us an email request for that free general law CD package. Now, once more, that's georgegordon.org, or call us direct at 417-273-4967. Why don't you call right now and do it while you're still thinking about it before you forget. All right, we've been talking about popular lies. So we've been covered four or five subjects here. You know, like I told you about going into the Firestone store to get your front end aligned and your tires rotated. And when you come back an hour and a half later to pick up your car with the balanced tires and rotation so you can pay your bill and go, you'll have four tires laying on the floor, and the guy says, "Oh my God, thank God you've returned. Let me save your life. For only $2,150, we can fix this for you." Now, that's sales, and it's salesmanship, and I don't deny it, and the guy needs to make a living, and he gets a commission, you know, when he makes these kinds of sales. But it's what we call bait and switch, bait and switch. So we're going to bait you in with rotating your tires and aligning your front end. But once we get your car in there, we're going to tear it apart. And while the pieces are laying all over the floor, then announce to you that it's insoluble. But you've come to the right place because we can save you. Just get your checkbook out. All right, so I talked about, so you want a fair trial. And we took a look at this thing of the fair trial. You know, a trial that's put on by the state's rules, in front of the state's judge and the state's prosecutor and the state's witnesses and then the state's defense attorney. And we call that a fair trial. I'd have to say that anybody that would call a trial here in the United States fair would have to be mentally impaired. Mentally impaired. And the results that we get bear out my claim. If you hire an attorney, walk into court on a criminal matter, 94% of the time you're going to be convicted, and 6% of the time you're going to be exonerated. So I rest my case right there. No more needs to be said. So much for the fair trial. Let's take a look at another story over here. It's called cancer. Every night on the news, there's a cancer story. Cancer is the biggest story in the news media. It's like a continual infomercial. Just absolutely continuous. If you'll watch the news and pay attention to the cancer stories, there is a promise every night on the news that a cancer cure is in the mill. Every single night without fail. Now, I've been watching this. See, I'm a little older than most of you, and so I've been watching this for the last 50 years. 50 years. And that's when I became an adult, 50 years ago. And for 50 years, I've been watching the cancer cures every night on the 6 o'clock news. And it's just around the corner. It's just right there. We just need to reach out and take it in. And we'll have a cancer cure. Well, boys and girls, let me shock you. You ready for this? There are already 14 cancer cures out there. 14. You ready for this? Let me read them to you. The Ann Wigmore wheatgrass therapy, juice and raw food diet, Indian black salve known as Cansema, ozone, garlic, Essiac, Royal Life frequency machine, coffee enemas, vitamin minerals therapy from Joel Wallach, Laetril, Easter Lily Oven, vitamin and mineral therapy. Oh, I had that one down here before. Excuse me. Oh, God, I lied to you already. There's only 13. All right. We only have 13 cancer cures here, boys and girls. 14, like I said. I'd want them down here twice. Cut, burn, and poison. That's the standard formula. We call it allopathic medicine. Cut, burn, and poison. And then frankincense, also known as an essential oil. Now, cut, burn, and poison. Let's start right there. It's number 13. Cut, burn, and poison. That's where they operate on the cancer and cut it out. You know, the doctor takes you and says, "Oh my God, we've got ovarian cancer. We'll just eviscerate you, lady, and cut out those bad parts there, and we'll throw those away. Then we can give you chemotherapy. That's called poison. Or we can give you radiation therapy. That's burn. We're going to burn it out with radiation. Now, surprisingly, this actually cures 37% of cancer. So the allopathic medical doctors aren't whistling Dixie, throw straw hat when they say, come in and come in early so that we can cure your cancer. Because it's a real, viable, honest to God, cure to cancer. 37% of the time, which is a little bit over a third. So that's wonderful news. I don't deny it. Now, that's the good news. Now, the bad news is 63% of people die from it. All right, so, you know, on balance, all of the promises that we've been listening to over the last century, and it starts back about 1900, and here's the key to this cancer cure story. In 1900, if you were born in 1900, you could expect over the course of your lifetime, about 75 years, that one person in 33 would develop cancer, not necessarily die from it, but one person in 33 is going to get cancer over the course of his lifetime. That's a statistical average in 1900. Now, as the years went by, that statistical average went up. So that by the time I was a child, about 10, 11, 12 years old, about 1950, your statistical chances of getting cancer were 1 in 5. 1 out of every 5 people born in 1950 could expect to get cancer at some point in their lifetime. Boy, that's a dramatic change from 1900 to 1950. Now, we must have been doing something between 1900 and 1950 to cause this great increase. Wouldn't you think that was the case? Whatever's going on here, we don't know what it is. I'm not sitting here saying, you know, it's the allopathic medical doctor's fault, or it's the Republicans or Democrats or somebody else, but something is going on. Because up to 1900, cancer was practically unknown. Just, you know, it was there. I remember my grandmother telling me that my great-grandmother Snyder died at age 42 from cancer in the 1880s. Back in the 1880s. They knew what cancer was. Cancer was actually out there. People died from cancer, but it was extremely rare. We actually had a family member in our history that died from cancer in the 1880s. Now, in 1900, she was the one out of 33 people who could expect to get cancer in her lifetime. And she did, and she died from it. Isn't that special? So, in 1950, it's one in five. Today, it is one out of two. So, for all of you people who were born now, since, say, the year 2000 through 2009, if you were born in that 9 years, your statistical average for getting cancer at some point in your lifetime is now 50%, one out of every two. So it's gone from 1 divided by 33, which is 0.03%. That's 1 out of 3, or excuse, 1 out of 33. That's 3%. It's gone up to 50% in 100 years. Now, that's pretty dramatic, isn't it? Now, along with that, the medical doctors have been spending tons and tons of money. They've gone out for research. I remember President Nixon. He said he's going to declare war on cancer. This is back in the 1960s and 70s. You know, he said, war on cancer, and he earmarked $2 billion. God knows how much money's been spent on this cancer fight. And so now when I watch the news, there's not every night, but, you know, once a month at least, and maybe once a week, there's a march on cancer, there's a run for cancer, there's a this or that event to raise money for cancer research to find a cure to cancer. Every night on the 6 o'clock news, Katie Couric, Brian Williams, and Charlie Gibson will have a story on the news about the latest cancer strides. You know, we've isolated this isotope. We found this enzyme. We found this or that or something else with our research, and it promises. And so, it promises. This isn't for today, but it promises for the future that we'll have a cure to cancer. And so, we keep giving more and more money, and we keep hoping and hoping, and the government keeps giving more and more grants and so on. So I got to ask the question, well, if we've got 13 cures to cancer already, then how come we're not using the 13 that we've got? And the answer is because they're all against the law. It's illegal to cure cancer in this country. And I don't know, maybe you never heard this story before, but do you know that if you came to me and you said, hey, Gordon, I think I have this lump here on my arm, and I look at it and say, my God, that's probably cancer. And that's against the law. I can't do that. That's called a diagnosis. And I'm not competent or qualified to make that comment, that diagnosis. And to do so would be a violation of law. It's practicing medicine without a license. Hell, you can go to prison for that. So free speech in the area of cancer is forbidden in this country. All right. So now, there was a lady by the name of Ann Wigmore. And she's just an old lady. I heard about her about 30 years ago. She's long dead now. Hell, she was old then. But 30 years ago, I read the story. This Ann Wigmore was in Boston, Massachusetts. She had a clinic up there. And people who had terminal cancer, these are the 63% of the people who had been to the medical doctors, and the medical doctor said, ain't nothing we can do for you, lady, just go home and die. They, in desperation, you know, they would go to somebody, some quack, you know. And then Ann Wigmore put them on a wheatgrass diet. Now, wheatgrass is fairly simple. Hell, you can buy this stuff in your local health food store. At least some of them have bars in the health food store. You sidle up to the bar, and they'll have a box over there on the counter, and it's got this green grass growing on it. And it's simple to make. You just throw some seeds in some dirt and put some water on it and sprout some seeds, and it's called wheat. Wheat is a grass, and it grows up 6 inches, and you kick scissors and cut it off, stick it in a juicer, and this god-awful, raunchy, this terrible-tasting juice comes out of this wheatgrass, and then you drink it, about, I guess, an ounce a day, something like that. I was up in Reno, Nevada, and they got a store out there called Wild Oats, and they got a juice bar in there, and you go in there, it costs you about $4 a day, and they'll give you a carrot juice drink. It's not a drink, it's actually carrot juice, you know, just carrots ground up and juice them. And then for another dollar and a half, I think it is, they will give you an ounce of wheatgrass. So you can just buy the stuff. You know, every morning people go in there, they get a carrot juice with wheatgrass, costs them $5.50, and there's their wheatgrass. Now, those people don't get cancer. There's something in wheatgrass. I don't know what it is. There's something in there that prevents it, and if you've got it, there's something in there that cures it. How do you like that? And that's been around for years. Now, the authorities were on Ann Wigmore like flies on stink for years and years, wanting to put her out of business and wanting to put her in prison. I think if they were successful at all, they probably did. And that's the story in America. If you've got a cure to cancer, of which there's 13, you will go to prison. End of report. Why is that? Well, because cancer is a $500 billion a year industry. It's the same size as the education system in America. The cancer industry, of and by itself, is the same size as the entire educational system of America combined. That's how big a business it is. And for somebody to come along and say, we are going to abolish the entire educational system of America tomorrow morning at 8 o'clock, would promote revolution. You can't do that. My God, you got 275,000 school teachers out there who would be unemployed in the morning. Hell, you're going to have 275,000 oncologists, doctors, and nurses who are going to be unemployed in the morning. Revolution would come from something like that. Not to mention a collapse of the economy, for crying out loud. And so the powers that be, that's the political powers and the American Medical Association and the pharmaceutical industry, are not going to allow a cure to cancer beyond the cure to cancer that we already have called cut, burn, and poison, which cures 37%. The other 63% of you must be sacrificed in the interest of the national economy and full employment in the medical industry. Now, I'm just sorry to report that to you, but that's the way life is. Now, there's a second one here, number two, juice and raw food diet. There was a lady, and I read her book, and she got cancer, and so she took a look at this and said, why do I have cancer and the guy down the street doesn't? Seems kind of unfair. People do that. They get a disease, and they say, why did this happen to me? Why did I have a heart attack? Why me? Well, if you take a look at metabolic disorders, it's fairly simple. If you just put your brain to work on this, what causes disease? One, you are nutritionally deficient in one of 92 vital nutrients. There are 92 nutrients, 92 things that you got to have in your body. And if you're missing one, any one, you will develop a symptom. Here's an example. If we take away vitamin C out of your diet, you will develop scurvy. It's just that simple. There's no mystery about it. Once you develop scurvy, what's the cure? Vitamin C. So now we give you vitamin C, and the scurvy goes away. See how simple that is? All right, so number one, it isn't just vitamin C or D or 17 or B6 or whatever. Every single nutrient has a corresponding symptom. Want to know what causes Lou Gehrig's disease? It's a vitamin mineral deficiency. You want to know what causes muscular dystrophy? It's a vitamin mineral deficiency. Okay. It's not vitamin C deficiency, but it's selenium deficiency, or it's iron deficiency, or copper deficiency, or. All right, that's one. That's half the battle right there. The other half of the battle is a toxic condition. You're being poisoned. And so we smoke cigarettes. And when we smoke cigarettes, we introduce tar, nicotine, and all kinds of chemicals down into our lungs. And over time, there's a cancer develops, and then we hang a label on it, you know, a patented label called lung cancer, copyrighted trademark of the American Medical Association. So I can't treat lung cancer because that's copyrighted. It's owned. It's owned like Coca-Cola. I can't make Coca-Cola. Why? It isn't because I don't have the formula or the skill or the ingredients. It's because it's already patented. Somebody else owns that name, Coca-Cola. I can sell Gordon Cola. I can sell Ajax Cola or Wonder Cola, but I can't sell Coca-Cola. And that's why you can't cure cancer, because cancer is a copyrighted trademark. But in ancient times, in the Bible, it was called the botch of Egypt. God said, I'm going to plague you with the botch of Egypt. So, you know, you call me on the telephone, you say, Mr. Gordon, I've got cancer. And I say, my God, son, don't use that name, cancer. That's a copyrighted trademark of the American Medical Association. And I cannot talk about cancer with you. What about the botch of Egypt? Oh, son, let's talk about the botch of Egypt. Yes, I can. We can discuss that because that's a generic term that nobody knows and understands anyway. Nobody's interested in the botch of Egypt. They're all interested in cancer. Well, now that they've got you out here buying cancer, they can sell that to you. They can sell a cancer cure to you. And so it's called cut, burn, and poison. They can give you radiation therapy. That's fine. They can cut it out. That's called surgery. You can do that. They can give you chemotherapy. Then that's fine. And those are called the protocols. Now, any doctor that goes outside the protocols that are set down by the AMA and the FDA, that's the Food and Drug Administration, will have his license taken away. He'll be prosecuted and put in prison. There have been some cases where doctors, you know, real, honest-to-God, licensed medical doctors, have tried to use wheatgrass juice and raw food diet, Indian black salve, ozone, garlic, Essiac, Royal Life Frequency Machine, coffee enemas, vitamin mineral supplements, Laetril, Easter Lily Ovum, and frankincense. And when they do that, they're prosecuted and put in prison. Now, if I were to recommend one of those, you would call me a quack. But what do you call a medical doctor that wants to use an alternative cancer therapy? Is he a quack? See, so we hang this label on this guy and we say, well, if he doesn't cut, burn, and poison, then he must be a quack. Doesn't that strike you as being another popular lie? In 1900, we wouldn't have called him a quack. So why do we call him a quack today? And by the way, what is a quack? Isn't that a sound that comes from a duck? What in the hell does duck talk have to do with viable cancer therapies? Huh? It's just a way to make sales, and it does, and it works like a shot. It's a very valuable lie, works like a shot, sells cancer, makes $500 billion a year, and people love it, and they just buy it up. So I'm not here to tell you not to buy cut, burn, and poison. I just wanted to report to you that there's a lot of lies going on out there, And this is one of them. It is a big lie because there are 13 cures to cancer. I originally named this 9 cancer cures, and over the years, every time I learn about a new one, you know, I write it down on my list. And so here in my cancer file folder that I keep over here in my file cabinet, I've got in the top of the page says 9 cancer cure. Then on the side over here it says 1 through 14, but I just discovered I got one of them down here twice. That's vitamin minerals. And so there's actually only 13. So if you heard me say there's 14 cancer cures, I got to back up. I only know of 13. I don't know about 14, but I do know 13. And I wouldn't discount cut, burn, and poison. But here's a problem that you get from it. Let's suppose that the doctor says, well, lady, you got breast cancer. And what we need to do is a radical mastectomy. We're going to cut off your breasts. And while we're at it, we think we'll take away your lymph nodes and lymph system. Now we got a real problem because, you see, your body has an immune system in it. And a part of your immune system is your lymph system. And by cutting out your lymph system, we destroy your immune system. And the only thing that can cure the cancer is your immune system. So the guy comes along, he cuts the cancer out and throws that over there in the waste paper basket. Now that's good. That's good. That's not a bad plan at all. But he also cuts out your lymph system. Now, you don't have any way to filter out the toxins in your body, and so the cancer comes back someplace else. But, that's the bad news, but if you're cancer-free for 5 years, it's called a cure. So if you die between 5 and 10 years, it's a recurrence. And it's tragic, but we're sorry as hell, but you die. Wouldn't it make more sense, if we're going to cure this cancer, that we should live a life cancer-free for the next 30, 40, 50 years so that we can die on schedule at about age 75 and a half, which is about the average age of people here in the United States when they die, 75 and a half. So if you die, let's say you get cancer at age 30 and you're cured, and then it redevelops at age 40, and then you die at age 47, isn't that a failure? It would seem like it was a failure to me. So I just thought I'd throw that one out there. Now, there's another cancer cure over here, number 3, which is called the Indian Black Salve. I want to tell you a little story about this Indian Black Salve, because I've used it twice. God, just worked like a shot. Now, I have not been a cancer survivor for 5 years, so we can't call it a cure yet, but I'll describe it for you. On my arm, I had a wart, and this wart's been on my arm for, oh God, I don't know how long. 50 years, maybe. I developed it, I think I was working at Tony Noon's when this wart came up on the inside of my forearm. I'm looking right now at it. There's a white spot there where it used to be. Well, anyway, it developed here about, I don't know, this one here has probably been over 5 years, 4 or 5 years ago or 6 or something like that. It became very painful, red, and inflamed. And it became a nuisance to me. It wasn't life-threatening, just, you know, it was there, and if my sleeve rubbed on it, it hurt, and so on. And so my wife said, well, that looks like it's growing, it looks like it's changing. You know how they tell you if you got a mole or something that changes, you should rush off to the doctor? And I suppose if I went to the doctor, he would have just put a little local anesthetic on there and cut it out, more than likely. So I didn't do that. I got a little can that holds about a half an ounce of Indian Black Salve. Now this Indian Black Salve is made up of bloodroot and one other herb and then some zinc chloride. And it's a paste and it's black, and it's called Indian Black Salve out in Wyoming. The Indians discovered this. And the active ingredient that kills the cancer is called bloodroot. Bloodroot. And in many places in the United States, that bloodroot's illegal. You have to go down on the street corner and buy it from Joe. You can't get it down here at the local Rexall store because it's a known cancer cure. It kills cancer. Bloodroot. It just kills it. And so that's not to say that you should go out and buy some bloodroot and kill your cancer now, because you can kill cancer so fast that it plugs up your liver and you die from liver failure. So, you know, you kind of got to know a little something about how to use it. But anyway, I put it on, and it burns. Oh, my God, that stuff burns. You know, it's not the worst pain in the world, but it's painful. And it just burned it out, and it created a crater about the size of a quarter. And probably as deep as the thickness of a quarter, and a black scab came up over. Oh, God, it was ugly. And I looked at that. I put a piece of tape over it so I couldn't see it. It was so ugly. And so over time, the black scab fell off because it heals from the bottom up, and there it is. It's gone, and that's the end of it. How do you like that? Now, here's the kicker. I had another wart. It's down here. I still got it. It's right here. It's on my index finger on my right hand, looking at it right now. And I said, well, I had such good success by burning that one out, I think I'll just put this blood root on this one, this cancema. And I did, and nothing happened. Now, here's the way this Indian black salve works. It does not do anything to healthy tissue. It only attacks cancer tissue and burns it out. So somebody's going to say, well, how do you know that was cancer? Well, because it burned it out. Yeah, but, you know, if you put that somewhere else, it won't do anything. Doesn't burn, doesn't do anything. So I put it on there. I put it on there two or three times. Actually, the wart that bothers me the most is the one that's on my index finger. I'd like to get rid of that sucker. It's been there for about 50 years, too, and it's in the wrong place, and I don't like it, and it bothers me, and I wish it would go away, but nothing that I've ever done can get rid of it. But the one up here on my forearm, it's gone. So that's called Indian black salve, also known as cancema, and it's got an active ingredient called blood roots. I just thought I'd report on that. Now, we're at the halfway point here, so let me remind you that you're listening to the Law Hour and Editorial Review, and we're sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States, and we're heard around the world in more than 120 countries daily over the Internet and radio. If you'd like more information about the Law School and the Law Hour, please go to our website at georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. The Law School teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law from the scriptural perspective, not 8 schools and all. The Law School is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school. It is open to individuals, but by prearrangement. The Law School conducts a homeschooling program for adults and compact desk, and the Law Hour website is updated weekly. It has a radio log schedule and archives. All of that can be accessed through our website at georgegordon.org. All of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date for your listening convenience, and the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. Now, the Law School offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. Be sure to order yours by calling the Law School at 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, the sources of information that we use on this program are true, accurate, and correct to the best of our knowledge and belief, and the Law Hour and Editorial Review gives credit to those authors and publications that we use on this program. And we often endorse or recommend books, papers, periodicals, and newsletters to our listeners. Now, these endorsements and recommendations that we're giving don't mean that the authors or the publications that we're endorsing and recommending are necessarily going to reciprocate and endorse and recommend us. They'll probably tell you they hate our guts and that we're the worst thing since, you know, a sliced white bread. But keep in mind that most of these authors and publications that we cite here on the Law Hour and Editorial Review, they may be hostile, they could be political, sometimes they're religious or economic or sectarian, sometimes they're racial, they may be ethnic, they may be partisans. And their viewpoints may not be totally endorsed by the Law Hour and Editorial Review either. And then finally, the opinions, beliefs, comments, views, and expressions that you hear on this program, they're mine and mine alone. They do not necessarily represent the views, the beliefs, or the opinions of the advertisers, the sponsors, the management, or the staff of this radio network or of this local radio station. So if you'd like more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, then please go to our website at georgegordon.org. That's georgegordon.org. Or you can call us direct at the Law School at 417-273-4967. All right, we're talking about another popular lie. Cancer is one of the most popular lies that has ever been exposed to human beings. And people believe it, and they love it. And they get out by their thousands, and they run and march, and they parade and do all kinds of things to raise money for cancer research. And God love every one of you people doing that, because, you see, that employs tens of thousands of cancer researchers and workers. It keeps them off the streets and out of the pool halls. It keeps them out of the unemployment lines. And we need people like you to employ those people, because in all probability, it's the only thing they know, the only thing they're trained at, and if they had to go out and work and make a real living, they'd starve to death. So thank God there's people out here running, marching, and parading for cancer. I'm not one of those. I don't want to waste my time running, marching, and parading for cancer to employ people to find a 14th, 15th, or 16th cure to cancer. It would seem like to me that the 13 that we've already got should be sufficient. Now, I use the word cancer cure in the generic sense. I don't want you to call me now and say, "Oh, Mr. Gordon, I heard your program, and I got cancer, and I need a cure." My God, what do you want to do, get me locked up? So, if you want to call me, I don't mind talking, you know. But don't talk to me about cancer. Talk to me about the botch of Egypt. That's spelled B-O-T-C-H, of Egypt. That's the generic term. We can talk about that, because that's not copyrighted and patented. And so you say, "Well, my God, I got this growth on my arm, and I think I've got the botch of Egypt." Oh, yeah. Well, you know, juice and raw food diet, and black salve, consema, you know, Rene Cassie, you know, with the Essiac, that'd be pretty good. I'll tell you about another story over here. There's a lady by the name of Rene Cassie. She was a Canadian. For all you Canadians up there, and you know, can anything good come out of Canada? Well, yeah, there is something good that could come out of Canada. And I'm looking at a file article here that I have. I'm going to just read to you one or two paragraphs here. Rene Cassie was a nurse living in Canada who, for a period of almost 60 years, treated hundreds of people with an herbal remedy that she called Essiac. She discovered this remedy through a patient in the hospital where she worked who had been cured of cancer. The patient had used an herbal remedy given her by an Ojibwe herbalist. Now, Ojibwe is an Indian tribe up in Canada. And so these Indians up here have an herbal remedy, probably made up of bloodroot and other herbs, bloodroot and other herbs, which I mentioned that the Indians in Wyoming developed, and they called theirs out there Indian black salve. Up in Canada, they didn't have a name for it. They just had an herbal remedy. But now we've got a name for it, because Rene Cassie called it Essiac. She spelled her name backwards. You know, Cassie spelled backwards is Essiac. That's what she called it. Now, this lady's a nurse. I mean, she's licensed, bonded, insured, been to the orthodox colleges and institutions, and she's working in a hospital, you know, doing her thing. And she saw this lady in here. She had this scar on her, and she said, "What's that scar from?" And the lady said, "Cancer." And, you know, in 1918, cancer was fatal, you know, about 100% of the time. And she said, "My God, what did you do for that? Did you cut it out or what?" And she said, No, I took this Indian herbal remedy, and it just went away, and there's what's left." And this nurse, she was kind of shocked, and she said, "Well, could you tell me what that herb is?" And the lady said, "I don't know what's in the herbal remedy, but I can give you some of it." And she did. And so they took it down to the lab, and they worked it all over real good, and they found out it had bloodroot and a bunch of other herbs in there. And they said, this nurse said, "Well, my God, let me try that." And so, you know, in her work, you know, with patients that had cancer, she said, "Well, would you like to try some of this Ojibwe Indian herbal remedy?" And somebody must have said yes, and it cured the cancer. And so then she reported it to the doctors in the hospital. She said, look what this does. And so the doctors in the hospital took a look at it, and they tested it. My God, it just cures cancer right and left. And so as time went on, it finally got up into the Parliament of Canada in 1937. And so at the time they were about to legalize this Essiac and make it a part of the cancer cure and treatment of Canada, the pharmaceutical industry comes in, you know, to the Parliament, and they said, "Now listen, we can't have this Essiac crap running around here in society." And so the Parliament voted it down. To this day, it's illegal in Canada. You Canadians up there, my God, whatever you do, stay away from that Essiac. You don't want to break the law, do you? Now, of course, the Indians up there, they've been using it for hundreds and maybe thousands of years. They don't have any problem. Indians, they can do that. You white people up there, lay down and die. And shut up while you're at it. And don't make a big fuss. So Renee left the hospital in 1922 at age 33. She went to Bracebridge, Ontario, Canada, where she began administering Essiac to all who came to her. And the majority of those whom she treated came on referral with letters from their physicians certifying that they had incurable or terminal forms of cancer and that they had been given up by the medical profession as untreatable. So the only people she treated were those that the medical profession said it's untreatable and you're going to die, go home and die quietly. Hell, they didn't have any place else to go, so they came to her, and so she gave them the Essiac, and then that cured them. Oh, my God, they threatened to put her in prison. She's practicing medicine without a license. Why, my God, the only thing the woman didn't do was cure people on the Sabbath. Remember, Jesus was out healing people on the Sabbath? Oh, it just ticked the religious people just come unhinged. They go postal on you when you cure people on the Sabbath. Now, Renee Cassie was never accused of healing people on the Sabbath. That was one charge that they, but practicing medicine without a license, and they threatened her, and she left Canada and came to the United States, and she teamed up with President Kennedy's medical doctor. Yep, that's right. President Kennedy's medical doctor heard about her, and she brought the formula down, and he tested it, and it worked fine in Boston. Now, for you people in Los Angeles, California, you should stay away from that stuff because, you know, it works in Massachusetts, but my God, would you trust Essiac to cure your child in California? Well, anyway, the bottom line was in Massachusetts, they finally came to the conclusion, you shut that crap down or we're going to throw your hind end in prison too. And so the good medical doctor, President Kennedy's medical doctor, seeing the wisdom of the American Medical Association and Food and Drug Administration's argument, shut it down. Now, they still sell Essiac. It comes out of Germany without bloodroot. You cannot sell Essiac with the bloodroot in it. So they took that out. The bloodroot is the active ingredient that kills malignant tumors. And you got to be careful about how you use it, because let's suppose that you got a great big cancer in your liver or something like that, and you take Essiac and you take too much of it too fast and you kill the cancer, then it backs up. Because see, your body has to get rid of this cancer, has to get rid of this tumor, this botch of Egypt. And so here's this dead mass of tumor in your body, and it plugs up your liver and you die from organ failure. And that's the problem that they have with the poison part of conventional medical therapy. They have drugs that will kill the tumor. This is why they tell you to come to us early while the cancer is small, and you'll have a better chance of success. And that's because once you kill the tumor, now your body has to dispose of the debris. And it plugs up your liver, and it kills you with liver failure. So if the cancer is small and they kill it, you stand a better chance of your body being able to dispose of it. Now, there's a bicycle rider. I've forgotten his name now, but anyway, he's won the Tour de France 4 or 5 times, and he's a pretty famous guy, you know, and he developed cancer, young man, good physical condition. So he went through chemotherapy, killed the cancer. And his immune system, along with the chemotherapy, killed the cancer. His body disposed of it, and he's cancer-free. There's a clear-cut example of how allopathic medicine using chemotherapy works. We don't deny that. That's good. But most people don't get into the doctor, you know, right up front while the cancer is the size of a pea. They usually wait until it gets the size of a golf ball or, you know, a baseball or a grapefruit or something like that, and then they go to the doctor, and the doctor says, oh my God, it's inoperable. It's wrapped all around all of your brain tissue up here, called this brain tumor, and there's nothing we can do for you, son. Just go on home and die quietly. Now, what can you do about that? Well, now, this Essiac will cure you, but you got to take it slow and easy, And then a little at a time, you don't want to kill that tumor all in one fell swoop. You're going to have to kill that tumor just a little bit at a time so your body can dispose of it. And at the same time, you got to have a detoxifying regimen so that you can get that poison out of your body, because that's the other half of disease. You're either being starved to death or you're being poisoned. That's what causes disease. Disease. I feel bad. I don't feel good. I feel bad. I'm diseased. I got a disease. I'm ill at ease. Okay. That's how simple that is. Essiac, Rene Cassie. Quite a little story here. You know, I've got reams and reams of material here on Essiac. So if you want to look at Essiac, go plug it into Google and start getting some material together. It's spelled Essiac. And the stuff you buy from Germany is no good. It's impotent. All of the ingredients to the Essiac formula are there but bloodroot. So what you got to do is to buy the German formula and then add the Essiac to it, but you got to have some guidance. All right. Now, there's another couple of little thingies over here that are pretty good for cancer. One of them is called ozone. Ozone is oxygen with an extra atom or molecule to it, or atom or electron or something. I'm not a chemist, I can't tell you exactly, but ozone is generated by an ozone generator. I've got one here. Ozone generator. Now, you can have an ozone generator here in the United States. It's not quite as bad as having a fully automatic Uzi submachine gun, but it's second. Second. The government hates fully automatic weapons more than they hate ozone machines, but ozone is right up there. So watch out now if you've got one of these ozone generators. They haven't quite got to the point where you have to be licensed, bonded, and insured, because I don't think that Dianne Feinstein and Barbara Boxer have heard about ozone machines and the threat that it poses to the health, safety, and welfare of the public of America. But as soon as those two women find out, you're going to have ozone ban legislation introduced into Congress, I guarantee it. But meanwhile, back on the farm, they're still legal. Now, ozone cures cancer. And I know that that's wicked and evil to make statements like that, but ozone cures cancer. It doesn't cure all cancer, but it cures a bunch of them. And if you want to know if this ozone treatment's any good, you use the ozone, and if the cancer shrinks or goes away, then you know it's working, and if it doesn't, then you know it's one of those cancers that doesn't work on. But it does work on a lot of cancers, as does garlic. Garlic. There's an active ingredient in garlic. I don't know what it is. I do know it tastes god-awful and smells bad. Whatever that active ingredient is. If you want to test it, just go out and eat some raw garlic. Now, keep in mind that the garlic has to be raw, because if it isn't raw, you don't have the enzyme, and without the enzyme, the stuff's impotent. I had a sister-in-law one time. My wife told her about juicers and vitamin mineral therapy. And my wife, she drinks raw carrot juice. I know it's god-awful stuff, but it's pretty good for you. Some people actually tell me that they like the taste of raw carrot juice. Well, okay. I'll leave that for you to decide. But my sister-in-law asked my wife, well, would it be all right if I just bought canned carrot juice? Well, you know, you can buy canned carrot juice, all right, but it's been heated to about 200 degrees and boiled, and all the enzymes are dead, and there's no vitamins left. And yeah, you can drink. It doesn't do anything for cancer. And that's because cancer is also known as the cooked food disease. Cancer. Can you remember this? Cancer. Cooked food disease. Write that down. Just write cancer. C-A-N-C-E-R, and then write cooked, C-O-O-K-E-D, food, F-O-O-D, disease, D-I-S-E-A-S-E. All right. And I put an equal sign between cancer and cooked. Got that? Cancer equals cooked food disease. If you don't eat cooked food, you will not get cancer. Got that? All right. Now, most of us like cooked food, but you have to put at least some raw food into your diet, or you run the risk of getting cancer. Now, once you get cancer, if you'll get off cooked food, and here's the juice and raw food diet number two. If you'll get off of cooked food. Now, my wife got cancer in 1978. She's had it now for 30 years. She had it in 78, and she still got it today. And when the day she dies, she's going to die with cancer. And that's her hope in life. She hopes to die with cancer, and then she hopes to avoid dying from cancer. She'd like to die with it, but not from it. And so far, for 31 years, she has been successful. And she does this with diet, and it's juice and raw food. See, every morning when she gets up, she does a coffee enema. So she uses the Max Gerson program. And while she's doing that coffee enema regimen, that's called therapy, she also does juice and raw food. Now, she eats a little cooked food once in a while. I'm not telling you that she doesn't eat any, but it's not much. And she eats raw food pretty regularly. And so we have a jar in here of vitamin B17, also known as apricot kernels. And that's another thing that you're almost going to have to get from Joe down on the street corner. You know, your regular cocaine, marijuana, and heroin dealer. You go next time you're down talking to Joe about some crack, ask him if he could get you some apricot kernels. Because they're just about in that league. It's not easy to get these apricot kernels. Now, in some places, they're probably legal. But here where I'm at in Missouri, they're illegal. And so I have to get them on the black market. You gotta get them on the black market. That's the free enterprise market, you know, where marijuana sells $37 billion a year. If you want to know how effective and how viable the free market economy is, well, just take a look at the marijuana sales in America. $37 billion a year. It's bigger than wheat. It's bigger than corn. It's bigger than soybeans. That's bigger than cotton by a whole bunch. And that's the free marketplace. And there's no price supports, and there's no set-aside programs, and there's no congressional action to support the marijuana growers of America like there are wheat and corn and everybody else. So you're going to have to go out onto the free market, also known as the underground economy, in order to find vitamin B17, which you're going to find in these apricot and peach kernels. One time they went over to Nepal, and they took a look at a bunch of people up here living in the high elevation up there, and these people eat a lot of apricots. And they took a look at them and said, "My God, how many of you people have cancer?" And everybody looked around and said, "Huh, what is it?" And they found that nobody had cancer up here. So they got to looking around saying, "Well, what in the hell is this all about? What do you mean you people don't have cancer up here? It's un-American. Everybody has cancer. One out of every two people in America is going to get cancer in his lifetime. And you people living up here in Nepal don't have cancer?" And so they said, "Well, what in the hell are you people eating up here? What are you smoking?" I guess was the first thing. And then they want to know, "Well, what are you eating?" Well, they're eating a lot of apricot pits and one thing and another. So back in 1950, a doctor and his two sons, all three of them medical doctors now, you know, with degrees after their name, three medical doctors, dad and the two sons over here, they said, "Well, let's start experimenting with these apricot pits." And so they started giving it to Americans. And their cancers went away. It's called Laetril. And as soon as the American Medical Association found out these guys were giving their patients apricot pits, my God, they went ballistic. They put these three doctors in prison. They shut them down. Thank God we've got the FDA and the United States government here to protect us from these criminal drug dealers over here curing cancer, for crying out loud. Well, it's the right thing to do because, see, these three doctors over here were interfering with trade, commerce, business, and industry under the Commerce Clause of the Constitution of the United States by curing cancer outside the protocols set down by the AMA and the FDA. And they were out here selling a cancer cure which is the equivalent of selling Coca-Cola without being licensed by the Coca-Cola bottling company. It was a clear-cut case of theft, and they were guilty as hell and deserved to go to prison. Now, had they been treating the botch of Egypt, they would have been all right. You can do that now. You've met you doctors out there. See, you can treat the botch of Egypt. Somebody comes along, are you treating cancer? Oh, God, no, no, not me. I don't treat cancer in here. I'm treating the botch of Egypt. What in the hell is the botch of Egypt? Well, if you don't know what it is, it's not relevant. But that's what I'm treating as the botch of Egypt. Forget this cancer crap. The same thing goes for you guys out there that have your covetous, greedy eyeballs on the Coca-Cola patent. You know, you can make Gordon Cola and Ajax Cola and Acme Cola, but God help you if you go out there and make and sell Coca-Cola now. All right, so there's where you're at with the juice and raw foods. It's called Laetril, and my wife, every day, she takes 20 of these little apricot pits, grinds them up in a little grinder, pours it into the blender, puts in two bananas, puts in one pound package of strawberries, and then I fill it up with a quart of milk up to the top line, you know. And then I put it on the blender machine over there, and we blend it all up good. And then we drink that. Now, the reason for putting in the bananas, the milk, and the strawberries, it's to kill the taste of the apricot pits. Oh, my God. You talk about some gross stuff now. I had a guy here one time. He said, let me try one of those. And he took one, he took it, he chewed it up, and he says, God, these really taste good. Chewed up an apricot kernel and said that thing tasted good. Yeah, you talk about perverted taste buds now. Now, my taste buds are perfectly normal. You know, I eat things like Ho-Ho's, Ding Dong's, Twinkies, and York Peppermint Patties. Now, my taste buds are normal. Some guy over here eating apricot pits over here and telling me that tastes good. Huh? Come on, give me a break. All right, so garlic does it, ozone does it, Essiac, juice and raw food. That's the way my wife's been doing it now for 31 years. 31 years. They gave her less than 6 months to live in 1978. They told her, go home and die quietly, lady, because ain't nothing we can do for you. So she said, well, hell, I'm going to die anyway. I guess I could experiment. She got onto the Ann Wigmore wheatgrass. They built a greenhouse on the side of that. Still here. I'm looking right out my door. Right into the greenhouse, and she made green wheat grass, cut it off, blended it up for 2 years and 8 months. 2 years and 8 months, never ate anything cooked. God, talk about torture, huh? I think I'd rather be waterboarded. But anyway, she did it for 2 years and 8 months, and the cancer went away. How do you like that? Ann Wigmore, wheatgrass, juice and raw food diet. And then she got on to the coffee enemas by Max Gerson. Did all three at the same time, supervised by a medical doctor, and it worked like a shot. Worked like a shot. So the next time you hear about the popular lie of cancer, there are no cures to cancer. Cancer is incurable. It's another of the big lies. Another big lie. But we love it here in America. God, do we love it. Hey, I'm about out of time, so let me give you a final reminder here that you're listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States, and we're heard around the world in more than 120 countries daily over the Internet and radio. If you'd like more information about the law school and The Law Hour, then please go to our website at georgegordon.org. GeorgeGordon.org. The law school is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school. It is open to individuals, but by prearrangement. Now, the law school conducts a homeschooling program for adults and compact disc, and the Law Hour website is updated weekly, and it has a radio log schedule and archives. All of that can be accessed through our website at GeorgeGordon.org. GeorgeGordon.org. And all of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date. That's for your listening convenience, and the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. All right, time's up. We've got to leave it right there. I'll see you back here tomorrow night. Same time, same station, God willing, of course. So until then, thanks for listening, everybody, and good night, friends.